Blog Talk Radio.
Out at foggy midfield, muddy midfield, although they've done a heck of a job getting the field ready, they just tossed the coin. To start the proceeding.
Over back, looking left, looking in, he's going to go long down the left side, there he is, and it is caught, 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jason Cruz.
Welcome to the Nothing But Sports Show on NBS Central Radio, hosted by Jay Franchise, Yvonne Maddox, and Truex the Sports Junkie, where they give the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
So help us God.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announce.
What's good, what's good to everybody in Sports Talk America. This is your boy, Jay Franchise, a.k.a. ThatDude.com, a.k.a. the greatest sports analyst to ever bless the sports ways. I have my co-host on the line, the guy out of Croatia, hailing out of Richmond, Virginia, my boy, Mr. Box Office. What's good, Mr. Box Office?
What's going on? I'm ready to start the show off with our special guest.
All right. So for everybody out there in Sports Talk America, we have a former UFC fighter and ESPN MMA analyst, Chael Sonnen. Chael Sonnen, what's going on, Chael? How you doing?
Everything, gentlemen. I got everything going on. How are you?
Oh, man. We're doing great, man. Just a couple technical difficulties, but we're doing wonderful, man. So let's go ahead and get right into it, man. With the first question, a lot of people would like to know what made you get into the MMA, or what made you spark your MMA career back in 1997?
Well, you know, I was just a fan. The UFC came out in 1993, and back then there was a couple of video stores that you could get a VHS copy of the UFC like 3 months after the events happened. But to set a timeline for the listeners, that the internet didn't come out until 1995, and even when it came out in 95, nobody had it until about 99, even closer to 2000. So in today's world, if a fight happens 5 minutes later, we all know about it. But back then, you could wait 3 months, get it on VHS, and have absolutely no idea not only who the winner was, you wouldn't even know who was in the tournament. It was tournament format at that time. So, at any rate, we'd rent it on VHS, and I was just a fan. That was really it. I started my career the same way I'll finish it, and that is as a fan.
Wow.
Okay.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Now, Chael, I want to ask, for those people that are wondering, what's it like working for Dana White?
He's incredible. Here's the thing with Dana is I don't know how great his life is. I don't know if he enjoys it or not. He wanted to be a fight promoter, and now he is. But he's created a monster that he's got to service about 21 to 22 hours a day. And I'll tell you something about Dana White a lot of people don't know. And this is an actual medical term. I got this from a doctor, but I can't remember what it's called now, but only one-tenth of the population of Earth has it. And that is that he's got this thing where he needs between 1 and 3 hours of sleep a night without an alarm.
Wow.
Yeah, he can go to sleep, and then he's up. And a pet peeve of Dana's, the number one thing in the world he hates, and this is another thing, this might surprise you, the number one thing in the world that Dana White hates is sleep. He fights it. He hates he hates to go to sleep. He thinks it's a waste of time. He doesn't understand why we need sleep. And because of that, I mean, you know, when people say they work 20 hours a day, it's usually just something people say. He is a rare case where he does, and he really doesn't have a choice because he can't sleep. He's one of these people, he can't do more than 3 hours, and usually he only needs one.
Wow, that's a good thing to know.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I can't relate to that. You know, I don't get it. And I'll tell you another thing, he doesn't run on coffee either. You know, I think every office in the world, at least in America, man, we run on one thing, and it's not motivation, it's not a paycheck, it's coffee. We run on coffee as Americans, and he doesn't drink coffee either. He needs an hour, and he's ready to go. And that's just hard to keep up with. The relevance to my point is, you know, he's hard to keep up with. Any boss, it's always annoying when your boss is asking you to work harder than he does. And, you know, it's just not the case with Dana. Dana runs guys. He's got, you know, PR and media obligations. You've got to train in between, and you got to catch this flight and that flight. But he's doing the same thing. He's not asking anybody to do anything that he wouldn't do.
Okay. Very interesting. So during your career in not only UFC and other promotions, who would you consider as a mentor to your, you know, throughout your career?
You know, I had guys that I looked up to. I came through a gym, and, you know, the way a gym works is you look up to the older guys. That never goes away. I started sports when I was 9 years old, and, you know, at the club, you always looked up to the older guys. You get into high school, you're a freshman, you're looking up to the juniors and seniors. And the guys that came before me that I admired a lot was Randy Couture and Matt Lindland and Dan Henderson. Those were the guys at our gym that were the leaders. They were doing it before I was doing it. And those are the guys that I would turn to, you know, if I had a fight tomorrow, those are the guys I'd be on the phone with and just getting some last-minute reassurance, if nothing else.
Right.
Okay.
Well, everyone knows you've been to Octagon with the best of the best, from Anderson Silva to John Jones, all over the place. Who is the best you have ever faced? Is there somebody that gave you just too much trouble preparing for them? If you had to pick out one guy and say, "Yeah, wow, that was a tough guy," or that was a tough guy to prepare for, who would that be?
Well, you know, there was, first off, without question, the answer is John Jones. But John Jones was so good that I almost take him out of the equation. It's almost like he doesn't count. Because the answer is so obvious. You know, I never had a fight, ever. Never. Not a wrestling match, a fight, no form of competition where I got beat and didn't immediately say, "Give me a rematch. Let me try that again." And in wrestling, you got to do that. You know, you lose to somebody, you'd be on the mat with them within a month. And you could try it again and try it again and try it again until you could close the gap and get it right. In fighting, it's a little harder to get rematches, particularly 3 and 4 and 5. But I still wanted them. Anyone that ever beat me, I wanted a rematch, except John Jones. I fought John, and I was like, "I get it. Enjoy your run. I'll be over here in the corner." And I mean, he was that kind of dominant. And this isn't good as an athlete. This is not good. It's the one and only time it's happened in my life. But the gap between he and I was just too big. I felt it, and I understood I'm not closing this gap.
Wow. Okay.
That's really, really, really interesting that you bring that up. So, what were your thoughts on the Holly Holm and Ronda Rousey match, and as well as the upcoming rematch?
I was stunned. You know, I was stunned. Ronda's skills are very limited at best. Judo sucks. And judo has never, yeah, I mean, it's terrible. And I could give you the history of judo, and you'd go, "Wow, I didn't, yeah, judo's terrible." But judo has never had a level of success in MMA, none. There's never been a judo practitioner that was champion. There was never a judo practitioner that was a number one contender. There was never a judo practitioner that was in an elimination fight. I don't even think we hold 53 shows a year right now. I don't think judo has ever main evented a show. And some of these shows are lizards where anybody can get in there. And I still don't think judo's done. It's that bad. It's that ineffective of a sport. And she ran with it, though. It kind of sounds like an insult here, but I mean it as a compliment. I mean, you know, she found a way to work within her skills and take it to the belt. You know, she really put judo on the map. She really helped that sport a lot. And I can tell you as a wrestler, that means something to us as an athlete. I want wrestling to look good. And she was able to do that for her sport, which was a cool thing. But at the end of the day, her skills are still her skills, and that's not a great skill set to have. But she was a master competitor. Ronda was the one girl in that division who had competed before, who had spent a lifetime, you know, going out, making weight on specific dates at specific time, operating within an agreed rule set and finding a way to get her hand raised. And that was what separated her, was her ability to compete. And I really thought she had that. I thought she had that over Holly too. So in that way, I was very surprised that somebody was able to prepare and deal with the pressures and the stresses and overcome. Skill wise, yeah, I mean that's judo's limited. There's not judo's limited.
Right, exactly. Wow. You know, I want to ask a question, and I don't know how this sounds, but you obviously know how big the UFC is towards Brazilians. And we know how, you know, how many UFC fighters are Brazilian. And I want to ask this, you know, do you think it's better for the UFC to have, you know, more Brazilian champions or American champions? And the reason why I'm asking is, we all know how big it is in Brazil, and obviously Dana White running it in America. Do you see a difference if Anderson Silva is a middleweight champion or a Chris Weidman, a American, or a Jose Aldo? Do you see that at all?
No. Well, you know, those three guys you just named are all just excellent, excellent fighters, and they're all terrible draws. And a lot of people didn't know that even about Anderson. When Anderson was on top, his numbers were garbage.
Wow.
He was just having a hard time in that regard. Now, that changed later in his career. His fights with – he and I were record-setting fights, and he did a fight with Nick Diaz that also did really well. But aside from that, he wasn't great. And my assessment of it isn't – necessarily the nationality, it's the ability to communicate. You know, Jose Aldo has no interest in learning English and hasn't.
that is true.
Yeah, and it does make it tough when you're talking to an American audience. Anderson Silva does speak English, but for reasons known only to him, when he would come to America, he would act like he didn't. Yeah, and I don't mean that as a joke. He just, for whatever reason, that, you know, he had his own reason. I never did understand it. If it was just he didn't want to do the media, so it was easier to act like he couldn't. So I never really got it. But and then Chris Weidman, you know, he's one of those guys that's going to take some time. He's a slow burn as well, and he'll get there in my opinion because he is so good. He'll stick around, and something will happen and spark some interest, but for right now, you know, his numbers are garbage too. So I don't know if it's a nationality as much as it is an ability. You must capture the audience, and the best and quickest way to do that is to talk to the audience.
Right, and you obviously think. Go ahead, Jake.
I'll say this. You were one of those type of guys that did capture the audience, and. You know, prior to fights, you know, I would always look forward to hearing, you know, just different, you know, your thoughts on a fighter and whatnot. Most of the time you didn't give them any props, but, I mean, I had, you know, for the most part, I enjoyed you, you know, having a means of relaying to the audience because, like yourself, I like to trash talk too, and I enjoyed your trash talk. Like, win or lose, like, I enjoyed it, and it was much appreciated, but go ahead.
Right. And speaking of Chris Weidman, I want to know your thoughts on Rockhold versus Weidman this weekend. Who wins and why?
I think that Weidman wins. I think Weidman is so here's the thing on that fight. Rockhold is definitely the number one contender. Rockhold has been the biggest threat to Weidman's championship.
He is.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
since Weidman had that belt. And there was even a really weird discussion going on right before this fight was signed as to who is the number one contender. And the debate kept coming down to Rockhold and Jacare. And I'm going, man, I get that. Jacare is awesome. But
mm-hmm.
I don't get where the debate comes from. Those two fought, and Rockhold won. And they fought over under the Strikeforce banner. It was as though everybody either forgot that fight happened or didn't know that it happened. And I was kind of looking around, you know, I'm turning my head left, turning my head right, going, hey, what are you guys talking about? If the fight comes down to these two, they fought head-to-head, and Rockhold beat him. So it was a little bit confusing, but Rockhold is the right guy. On Weidman's end of it, you know, not only is he fighting really well right now, and there is something to be said in this sport for momentum, but the thing with Weidman that never gets talked about is his defense, his ability on his feet. He flips punches, he flips knees. You know, he defeated Anderson Silva with a defensive striking technique. When's the last time a guy ever got a TKO with defensive striking? I've never even heard of such a thing.
That's a good point.
And Weidman did it. Yeah, and no one talks about that. You know, he's a great wrestler. He's got excellent ground skills. He's in good shape. He's a big guy. And those are the things that most analysts break down on Chris Weidman, but what they're missing is his defense on his feet. It's fantastic.
Yeah, he's an outstanding defensive fighter. Outstanding. I mean, he's also very good with his counters. I love his counters, and he does have a great way of, you know, avoiding takedowns, and also he has a pretty decent ground game, in my opinion. So, with that being said, I'd like to know your thoughts about the main event between Jose Aldo and Conor McGregor. In regards to the fight, you know, I like to break it down by, like, striking, grappling experience and whatnot. But who has the upper advantage in regards to the striking, between Aldo and McGregor?
Man, if I could have one of those guys' skill sets, you know, little genie pops out of a bottle type scenario and says, all right, you can have either guy's skills. Who do you want? I don't even think about it, man. It's Jose Aldo. Those guys really aren't that close as from what I'm seeing. When I sit back and watch, they're really not all that close. It's Aldo. And particularly in the striking realm, you know, I think in the conditioning realm too, people are talking about that Conor can go hard. And perhaps he can, but, you know, Jose Aldo is in the five-round club. Conor's not. And not a lot of guys
mm-hmm.
are. The five-round club is a very elite group. There's not very many human beings that have made it the distance, win, lose, or draw, that have actually fought for a full 25 minutes. And you never know if you can do it until you go do it. It's a really, really a tough thing. It's also a really rare thing. So until Conor does that, I don't know that I'm willing to tip my hat to his ability to push the pace and his conditioning. A lot of people think that favors him, and it may. I'm just arguing that we don't know yet. So I think that goes to Jose, but, you know, both of these guys are so scared of the other one. I've never seen a fight of this magnitude where both guys are so sure they're going to lose. Generally, when you have a fight this big, from the boxing days, wrestling days, all the way to MMA, both guys are just positive they're going to win. You know, Jose wants out of this fight so bad that he already pulled out of it once. And Conor's starting to say stuff, feathering his nest for a fall, too. I mean, Conor's talking about, oh, champions come back from defeat, and the secret ingredient to success is failure, and he's going to switch weight classes, and it's like, listen, man, I've been doing this since 1997. I know what I'm looking at every time I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at two guys that are really, really scared of one another.
Okay, that's interesting. That's an interesting point.
I think they're afraid of the whole – I think I think on Conor's side, I think he's afraid of the fact that Aldo could end him at any given time, at any means necessary. And with Aldo, I think Aldo is more afraid of, okay, Conor's got the reach advantage, and Conor has, you know, that he does have the opportunity to knock you out within that first, you know, two to three minutes. But, you know, we shall see. In regards to, like, grappling and takedown, who do you believe has the advantage in this fight?
Conor's takedown defense isn't fantastic, but it's also not bad. It's not fantastic defense. But with that said, I don't think that Jose Aldo has the big takedown. I don't think he's got great offense in that regard. So I think it kind of gets thrown out. I think that Conor does have some pretty good takedowns, also not fantastic. I think they're pretty good. Jose Aldo, on the other hand, has fantastic defense. I mean, Chad Mendez wasn't even close to getting him down. Frankie Edgar couldn't get him down. These guys are high, high-level wrestlers. So I don't think that Jose Aldo's going to have any problems defending himself from getting drugged down to the mat. And I don't know that Jose's going to drag Conor down. That's not really a skill we've seen Jose try to do to people before. So I don't know who has the advantage, but I don't know that it's relevant. From their past fights, it's not. But that's the thing about these matches. Every time you think you know what two guys are going to go do, one of them flips the script and breaks out something new. So we might see something new. But I really think that if you predicted a stand-up fight, that's what you're going to get.
Definitely.
Okay. So who do you have? Like, so I might as well just go ahead and ask it. Who's your selection? Who's your pick?
Oh, I got Jose Aldo. I got Aldo in a landslide. I don't think we have a competitive fight here.
Wow.
I'll remind you of this, though. I did not think Conor versus Mendez would be a competitive fight. And for the most part, I was right. Mendez really did go handle him. But at the end of the day, you know, Conor did find a way to win and look good doing it. I thought Conor looked great weathering the storm. I thought it added to Conor's mystique that he got his ass kicked but dealt with the adversity and came back. So, you know, I'm just not – you can't rule Conor out. A lot of people have been doing it for a while, and, you know, he keeps on finding a way to get his hand raised. But when I look at these guys, I just don't think we've got a very good fight here. It's really hard for me – to say that Jose is going to go kick Conor's ass when Jose doesn't believe he's going to kick Conor's ass. So
exactly.
If both guys would just go fight and the mental deficiencies that they're both showing wasn't part of it, if it was just skill for skill, I'd be a little more confident in what I'm saying right now. But there's some variables out there. You know, until I see Jose Aldo make weight, I'm not convinced he's going to. I'm not convinced Jose Aldo's not going to pull something at the absolute last second to either get out of this fight or to get out of having to do five rounds in this fight. I don't know. There's some fugaziness going on here.
Right. Okay.
I like
well,
it.
Okay. I just want to switch shifts right now. And there was rumors in the past about your interest in the WWE. Possibly going into it or buying it. Is there any interest there still?
I tried to buy the WWE. I had raised almost $80 million, and the WWE, to get a controlling share of it, was $476 million, which I did not know. I did
My
not
God.
Understand the value of that company. So as far as participating or being part of the WWE, I had bigger interest years ago. But I'm pretty happy right now with what I'm doing and participating in the sport of MMA from an analysis standpoint and doing some broadcasting. So I think that's behind me, but I do like their product, and I do watch it, and I think it's a lot of fun.
Okay, I didn't know if you had any interest, maybe like Ken Shamrock did, you know, going in there and doing some acting, basically. But I want you to tell us about your book, how we can get a hold of one, and what it's about.
The Voice of Reason at Amazon.com. You know, it was just a lot of fun. I just wrote a fun book. Each chapter is kind of its own story. opinion-based. There's some MMA stories in there. There's just some life stories about me on there. It wasn't an autobiography, but there are chapters that are autobiography. The rest of it was just more of real time and the state of MMA. We touch on some politics. It was just a fun book to write. It's the second best selling book in the history of MMA. It's actually only behind Forrest Griffin's first book. And I'm close to passing him up, but I haven't yet. I'm sitting at number two.
Right. You also have a podcast on podcast1.com?
Podcast1.com drops every Wednesday. It's called You're Welcome.
Okay. Nice.
Wow. Very, very nice. Well, Cheryl, I'm going to close out with this final question. I'd like to know, like, if you had any advice to give to any youngsters that want to aspire to become an MMA fighter and fight, in the UFC, Pride, or any mixed martial arts organization, what would be a great piece of advice to give them?
Well, I would tell them this: don't overthink it. This is a very simplistic sport, and the thing that you have to do. It's real easy and it's really unpleasant. And that is you got to get a gym, you got to get a coach, and you got to show up every day. And that is the only recipe. It takes time and it takes work. And if you can get just a little teeny tiny half an inch step closer every day, that starts to add up. And that's what kills everybody. It's consistency in anything, whether you're doing a diet or exercise or relationships, whatever it is, it's consistency. It's something you have to do every day. You got to get a little, just a tiny 1 degree better every day. And, if you miss a day, you fall back a few steps. If you show up, you move forward one step. It's one of those things, and it's a little cliche, but the cliche is true, and it's consistency and hard work. Get yourself a coach, get a gym, and go to practice every day.
That's good advice.
So before we go, you have Aldo, and then you chose Adorako and Weidman. Who do you have in that fight?
I'm going to say Chris. I really like the fight, and Luke is going to give him some problems. Luke's going to give him some problems, but I don't know that Luke's going to win any rounds. But each round that he's in, he's, Chris is going to have to work. It's a good fight. Rockholt is as good as advertised. I don't know that he's the best in the world, and Weidman is. Weidman is
okay.
The best right now. His last three fights, he beat world champions. Anderson was a world champ at the time. Machida's a former world champion. Vitor has been a world champion at least once, possibly twice. I'd have to check the history books on that. And he stopped two of those guys and roughed up the other one. So I think he's fighting really well right now.
Okay, awesome, man. Well, do you have any shout outs or anybody that you'd like to parting thoughts or anything?
No, I don't. Gentlemen, keep up the great work. This has been fun.
Thank you. We really appreciate it.
Most definitely, Chef.
Hey, fellas.
Yeah.
There's a new joke going around. Do you know what 6 feet tall, handsome, charming, and disappears in an instant?
What's that?
What is it? Wow, that was a great joke.
And with that being said, thanks, Jill Sunday, for coming on to our show. Mr. Box Office, do you have anything else to say?
No, that joke really got us as he hung up. We really appreciate Chael Sonnen coming on. Check out his book, like he said, on Amazon. Also, check him out on podcast1.com/Chael Sonnen. And look forward to seeing him this weekend as he covers the fights.
Awesome. And, with that being said, it's, Mr. Box Office, and I'm your boy, Jay Franchise, signing off. Check us out. Check out the interview. Check out all of our shows. Peace.